In the closing decades of the 19th century, the United States seemed to be moving with astonishing speed into a new age of wealth, industry, and national confidence. Railroads crossed the continent, factories multiplied in the cities, steel mills burned through the night, and corporations grew into institutions more powerful than anything earlier generations of Americans had imagined. Yet beneath the bright language of progress, millions of farmers, laborers, and small producers felt that the promise of American democracy was slipping away from them. For them, the age of expansion had not brought security. It had brought debt, falling crop prices, railroad monopolies, tight money, and a political system that seemed increasingly loyal to bankers, railroad executives, and industrial magnates. Out of this frustration came one of the most important reform movements in American history. Populism. Before the progressive era fully emerged, before presidents and lawmakers spoke confidently of regulating corporations and cleansing politics, the populists gave voice to a powerful demand that governments should serve the many rather than the few. The populist movement did not appear suddenly. It grew from deep economic and social pressures that had been building since the Civil War. American farmers, especially in the South and the Great Plains, lived in a world shaped by uncertainty. They depended on weather, crop prices, transportation costs, credit, and distant markets over which they had little control. A farmer might work from dawn until nightfall, produce a large harvest, and still end the year poorer than before. Cotton, wheat, corn, and other agricultural goods were sold into national and international markets where prices could fall sharply. Meanwhile, railroads charged freight rates that often seemed arbitrary and unfair. Local bankers and merchants extended credit at high interest, while the national money supply remained tight under policies that favored creditors. In theory, the independent farmer was still celebrated as the backbone of the republic. In practice, many farmers believed they had become trapped in a system designed to extract their labor and leave them with debt. This sense of betrayal was especially bitter because American political culture had long honored the ideal of the self-reliant producer. From the age of Thomas Jefferson, many Americans had imagined the republic as a nation of independent farmers whose ownership of land made them virtuous citizens. In the 19th century, that ideal remained powerful, even as industrial capitalism transformed the country. Farmers did not necessarily reject markets, technology, or national growth. Many embraced railroads, machinery, and commercial agriculture because these promised opportunity. Yet they increasingly felt that the new economy had turned against them. They were told to be efficient, productive, and disciplined, but the rewards of their labor seemed to flow upward to railroad companies, grain elevator operators, loan agents, merchants, and Wall Street financiers. In that contradiction, the celebration of the farmer and the exploitation of the farmer, the emotional force of populism began to take shape. Long before the rise of the People's Party, farmers organized to defend themselves. One of the earliest and most influential movements was the Grange, formerly known as the Patrons of Husbandry, founded in 1867. At first, the Grange emphasized education, cooperation, and community among rural families. It sponsored lectures, social gatherings, and efforts to improve agricultural life. But as farmers confronted rising railroad rates and unfair business practices, the Grange became more political. In several Midwestern states, Grangers pushed for laws regulating railroad and grain elevator charges. These laws, often called Granger laws, reflected a crucial idea. Private corporations that served a public function could be subject to public regulation. This was not yet the full reform agenda of the populists, but it was a major step toward a broader argument that the government had both the right and the duty to protect ordinary citizens from concentrated economic power. The courts sometimes supported this principle.